Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to ignatiusbookclub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich.
By definition, a storyteller conveys events in words, images, and sounds, often by improvisation or embellishment. The Living Bread Radio Network presents The Storytellers with Tony Agnese. Today, you'll hear a faith-based, inspirational story that's both heartfelt and heartwarming. And now, let's meet today's storyteller with Tony Agnese.
Welcome to The Storytellers. This is Tony Agnese. It's great to have you by. Each week on The Storytellers, we have a guest who shares not only their story, but God's grace in their lives and how they've been able to use that to help other people. My guest today is Danielle Bean. She is the brand manager for CatholicMom.com, former publisher and editor-in-chief of Catholic Digest. She does a weekly radio or television program called The Gist on Catholic Radio. She does this thing called Girlfriends. It's a podcast, and I have to admit that I have listened to it, which I think I have to turn in my man card by saying that, but I have listened to it. And she has written a number of books, and she is a wonderful speaker, and I'm just so proud to have you with us. Danielle, thank you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and chat with you today.
Every time I think of you, I think you may have, like, underneath a shirt with a big S on the front, like Superwoman. I have a hard enough time remembering, what shirt to put on in the morning, and you are involved in so many things. How does a mother of eight kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does a mother of eight kids do all these things that you do?
I don't know. I mean, I really think that, you know, when people ask me that, I never know how to answer. I know I do a lot of stuff, but sometimes on paper it looks more impressive than the actual doing. Because some of those things, you know, you talk about my weekly television show, for example, that sounds like a huge commitment. But truly, I'm blessed to be able to do that with Catholic TV because we compress all the work for a whole season into about a week every June, and we just bang out those shows, and then they air throughout the following year. So things like that, you know, just being really careful with my time management and discerning about what I'll take on. But it is true that I do a lot of things, and I've always felt driven to do a lot of things. And I've always felt like God has blessed me with an abundance of energy and optimism to be able to take life on. So I don't want to waste a minute of it.
What do you say to the mom out there, Danielle, with a couple of young kids who just feels like they have no life, that everything involves around runny noses and trips to the doctor and people falling down and so forth? What do you say to those people? Yeah, here you are with a blog and books and a podcast, and you speak and so forth. And they're having a hard enough time just getting up in the morning and getting through the day.
Right. Well, first and foremost, I would say I totally get it. And I have been there. You know, I do a lot of things now, but I'm in a different place in my family life for sure than I was early on. My husband and I got married right out of college, started our family immediately, and we had, it, you know, inside of 7 years, we had five kids. And during that time, I wasn't doing anything but focused on home life and family life. And I, you know, doing something professionally was just, you know, completely outside of anything I would have considered at that point. I was 100% focused as much as I could be on my home and on my family life and on my marriage. And I don't regret that investment of time and energy one bit. And it was hard. Just doing that was hard. Even, you know, and I tell sometimes moms who are struggling because they think, how can you have all those kids? I can't handle my one. I can't handle my two or whatever it is. And the answer is that God gives you the grace for what he gives you. And I absolutely felt maxed out and overwhelmed with one baby. You know, that's how it is. That's how life works. And you're kind of getting broken into your motherhood in those early years. And it's hard to see the value in those little things, like you mentioned, the sniffly noses and a trip to the doctor and picking up messes. And that can definitely wear you down. So I always encourage moms, take the breaks you need, communicate and connect with people who are going to be supportive and encouraging of you, but don't let yourself fall into that kind of slippery slope, which is all too easy in a culture which is going to encourage you to do it, of rejecting the value of those small things you do, those small things you do in service of your children, in service of your family, in service of your home, because that truly, and we women know it, is the heart of what God built us for, is that life-giving, self-giving love that we practice as wives and as mothers.
Yet we're in a culture, Danielle, that kind of goes 180 degrees to the opposite of that. You know, it's all about me.
Absolutely.
It's all about, you know, and I'm sure a lot of young moms feel that they're kind of conflicted, torn between what they know they need to do in terms of raising their kid, probably the most important thing they'll do, you know, in their lives. And what society keeps beating on us, you know.
Exactly. I mean, our culture really, truly denigrates motherhood in all of its forms. I don't just mean, you know, the physical bearing of children and raising kids. You know, it's fairly supportive of that. But at the same time, it doesn't recognize the importance that we women place on that inside of our hearts, the value that we place on that work, because it really is truly written on our hearts and our souls. It's part of our physical being to be driven toward caring for others. And that might mean in some form of spiritual motherhood. Even women who never have children practice motherhood in various forms where they're caring for the people that God places in their lives with that feminine, nurturing, self-giving, generous love that God has especially blessed us with the strength to do.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that, you know, your life is a little different now. And do you find that sometimes women have problems with these? For example, you raise your kids and all of a sudden they're off and they're gone to college. And now what?
Yeah, I'm struggling because that's a big part of your identity. And, you know, it, like I said, it's hard, those breaking in years in your early motherhood. But then once you get there, it becomes really such an important part of your identity, such an important part of what you do every day. So I think many moms in my stage of life, I've got four that are out of the home now, out of our eight. And, you know, some are at school and some are preparing to get married and working full-time jobs and living on their own. So, once you reach that stage, it can feel really funny and you can kind of feel a little bit out of your element. I was recently reflecting on this when my daughter, who is engaged and preparing to be married in the spring, was trying on her wedding dress, and it just felt like such a surreal moment to me. Like, how did I blink, and this little baby is getting ready for her wedding? Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, I think that's something that all women can understand. I shared a little bit about it on Facebook, and I got a lot of responses from people saying, oh, me too, or younger moms saying, I can't even imagine, you know, that. And yet, you know, this is another opportunity where we can, as moms, as women, come together and share about these experiences, share the ways in which they deeply affect us, sometimes the ways that they really challenge us and that we might be struggling inside of new stages of our motherhood. And, you know, it's been my experience that our kids never stop needing us. I mean, I still need my mom. You know, I will call her for the things that I know only she can tell me, the things that only she can understand. And I hope to always play that role in my children's lives. Of course, they need you in different ways. They aren't tugging on your pant leg every moment anymore and getting up in the middle of the night with wet sheets or anything. But at the same time, they need you. And being present to them is such a privilege and such a gift in whatever stage of life that you're at.
Yeah, we never stop being parents, do we?
No, we don't. And that's really, truly what God means for us to do. And, you know, during different stages of your motherhood, you might find yourself feeling a little bit out of sorts or a little bit like, what do I do now? Because you do find yourself a little more time. I like to look at those things as opportunities. So take a little time in prayer and see where God might be directing you to use your motherly gifts. It might be inside of your community. It might be with children that live down your street. It might be at your local school. There are always opportunities. Our world is hungry for the gifts that we women have.
Danielle Bean is my guest. Danielle, you do a lot for, you know, for the moms that might be struggling out there. And what brought you into that form of ministry? What was it that spoke to you that said, I can help some other women go through some of these struggles?
Well, I think it really came from my very own struggle, the own reality of my difficulty that I sometimes had, struggling against my own selfishness and a vocation that was requiring me to give that up, that was requiring me on a day-to-day, minute-to-minute basis to be turning over my will to the will of God, to be, you know, placing myself at the service of others, often at cost to myself. And I struggled with that a lot early on, and I still struggle with it sometimes. So I think, you know, I don't share now because I've got it all figured out, but I do share because, you know, during the moments where I was a younger mom and struggling, it really helped to have other people say, me too. And I share that. You know, I struggle with that too. And I wanted to be that voice of encouragement that let women know you're not the only one. You're not alone in that struggle. But now that I'm on the other side of some of those struggles, I feel like I can be a voice of encouragement saying, guess what? I did that too. And now look, I'm on the other side and everything really did come out in the wash. Sometimes that's all you want to hear. That's all you want to know is that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, especially in those hardest years.
And sometimes they you may feel like it's never ending, but when you get through it, it's almost like, as you said, it's like a blink of an eye, and all of a sudden your daughter's trying on her wedding dress.
That's right. I mean, someone once said the days are long, but the years are short. And I think that is so true in my experience, that the years seem to just go by in the blink of an eye. But some of those days, when you're really in the trenches of it, when you're really struggling through some of those great challenges as a parent, they can feel very long indeed. And it's important that we acknowledge the truth of both of those things.
Talk a minute here about CatholicMom.com. I know you are the brand manager for CatholicMom.com, and I have seen this. I've been accused a couple of times of being a mommy blogger, by the way, but that's a whole different thing. But talk a little bit about CatholicMom.com and its purpose and what people can find there who might be listening to the show.
Yeah, I've been with CatholicMom.com for almost a year now. I'm coming up on the year anniversary of my starting there. Such a blessing and such a gift to be a part of this ministry that I've been, you know, aware of and so supportive of for many years. The founder, Lisa Hendy, 18 years ago, started CatholicMom.com as a way of just connecting with other women who shared her values and would also be able to kind of share in that parenting journey with her that in a faith-based way. So it grew from there. So it grew from being, you know, just Lisa kind of sharing and people commenting on her stuff to being multiple bloggers to now we have over 150 different contributors from all walks of life. So it's a group blog. There's articles that are published, new content on there, you know, between 5 and 7 times daily. You can always get something new and something fresh there from our wonderful contributors. But now we also have a podcast. We're always looking for ways to connect with women where they are. So we're doing that certainly through social media, on Facebook and through Instagram, through live video chats with people, and also through our Catholic Momcast, which is hosted by Lisa Hendy and me, where we do just take on these everyday topics. And truly, it is part of the charism of CatholicMom.com that it features voices of women from all walks of life, not just one kind of Catholic mom, not just one kind of Catholic family is represented there. So that's truly an important part of my mission at CatholicMom.com to make sure that everyone has a voice there and that everyone feels welcome and included and encouraged and affirmed. It's important that we have positive voices inside of our church.
You speak, I read, you know, about the uniqueness of everyone and our worthiness to be loved and that we're all called into mission. We're all called into ministry. We're all called into greatness in some way. And a lot of people, they don't feel like that's the case at all with them. They don't feel that they're unique or special or worthy. What are some of the distractions of the world that cause that thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I think we live in a world where life is cheap, right? I mean, you look at, we're living in a culture of death, as St. John Paul II called it, that these are hard times for people to feel valued, for people to feel unique, for people to feel loved. we live in a world that kind of rejects that value. And yet St. John Paul II's teachings on theology of the body, but also just his teachings on the intrinsic value of every human person, I think is exactly the antidote that our world needs today, because every one of us needs to hear that message. That, you know, sometimes we hear those words like, oh, God loves you, Jesus loves you, and we kind of roll our eyes a little bit, like, yeah, yeah, blah, blah, I know that. But it's been my experience that people who say they know that don't necessarily really know it in their heart, you know? And through the work that I share through my writing and various forms of ministry, it's always my goal to get people to understand that message of God's unique love for you, you individually, not like God, you know, loves some great throng of faceless, nameless humanity, and so he sent his only son to die. It's not like Jesus bled and died on the cross for some, you know, great crowd of people that he loved and he doesn't know. No, he bled and he died on that cross for you and for me, for each of us individually and in a very deeply intimate personal way. And so I'm always wanting people to learn the richness of that relationship that Jesus is waiting to have with them, that he knows you and he loves you deeply, personally, and intimately, and he wants you to have that kind of relationship reciprocally with him. So he's calling each of us to that, and yet I think our world sometimes is a distraction with all of our technology and the busyness and the idea that life is cheap and a throwaway, disposable society. But truly, the teachings of the church speak an answer to that, an antidote to that, in really underscoring and highlighting the intrinsic value of every human life as a unique, unrepeatable individual. And it's really important that we as Catholics speak in that way.
Danielle Bean is my guest. In the next segment, we're going to talk about her new book, You Are Enough, what women of the Bible can teach you about your mission and your worth, when we return with Danielle Bean on The Storytellers.
CatholicBook.net is your source for all things Catholic. With a large selection of unique items, we are here to serve the Lord by serving you. Visit our local shop in Canton at St. Raphael Books and Gifts, 4365 Fulton Drive Northwest. We are your source for all things Catholic. CatholicBook.net, for 30 years, a commitment to service.
This is Tony Agnese, and welcome back to The Storytellers. My guest is Danielle Bean. Her new book, You Are Enough, what women of the Bible teach you about your mission and your worth, is my guest. And we're speaking with Danielle about a variety of subjects. And, you know, when you were just talking here before the break, you brought up a story I wrote a while back several years ago called Beautiful People Don't Just Happen. We have this view of beautiful people that is kind of Hollywood view, you know, kind of a models and that the handsome actor, the pretty actress. And we have, that's what when we talk about beauty in society, that they kind of point us to that type of beauty. And most people will look, and I'm not, you know, I'm too heavy, or I'm bald, or I am not sexy enough or rich enough or whatever. And we judge ourselves that way. Yet I have found over my lifetime that the most beautiful people I've ever met are the people that are there for you when you need their help, that always have a kind word, that mm-hmm. oftentimes are just those people that, you know, I've seen people on their deathbed that have joy in their life, and they're beautiful people. And we have these people. Each of us in our lifetime have one or two of these people. They could be a mentor, a friend, a teacher, someone that cared enough about us to kind of set us in the right direction. And I think that's what I love about what you write about, because you point people that way.
Right, and thank you for saying that. I completely share that. And I think many of us, if we stop to think about it, we can recognize the shallowness of our culture's definition of beauty, right? Because it gets it right in some ways. You know, human beings are beautiful. And, you know, these models and actresses and actors, it's beautiful. And human beauty in its physical form is meant to be a reflection of the beauty of God. But the way our culture gets it wrong is that it stops there. And it makes that the ultimate goal, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we talk about beauty, I like to put it in terms of an icon versus an idol. So an idol is something that we might replace God with. So if we take human beauty in all of its forms and we seek to replace God with that beauty, that becomes our end, that becomes our goal, then it becomes an idol to us. But an icon is something that is meant to point toward God, turn our attention, turn our hearts and minds toward God and help us to contemplate Him. And that's what beauty is meant to be. It's meant to turn ourselves toward God. It's meant to be a little glimmer, a little splinter, a little reflection of the true beauty that comes from God and turn ourselves toward that. So when we fail to do that, it does become a shallow form of beauty. But I think all of us, like you described, inside of our personal relationships have experienced real beauty that goes much deeper than that. Someone who is spiritually beautiful, someone who is generous and truly giving of themselves to others in that most Christ-like way. And we know it when we see it. I mean, I always think of the example of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who, you know, she's 4 feet tall and she's got this wrinkled face. She's never going to grace the cover of Vogue magazine. And yet, everyone can recognize that radiant joy that shines forth in her smile. We know that. We see it. And we see that goodness that's coming from her. And it comes from fully embracing the person that God meant her to be, with all the trials and struggles, with all the sacrifices that it required of her. She had that radiant joy and that beauty because she was fully accepting who God made her to be. And for every one of us, who God made us to be is a servant to others.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Well, the book is entitled You Are Enough. I like the title, but then I get kind of confused about women of the Old Testament, because when I think of women of the Old Testament, for some reason, Danielle, I think of the bad, you know, I think of the Jezebels and the Samson and Delilahs and am I going to learn something from them?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I share your hesitation. And it's so funny because, you know, I start out the book saying, you know, let's just be real about this. The Old Testament is pretty weird. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff in there. There's, you know, people with multiple wives, and there's incest, and there's people worshiping golden calves and all kinds of violent situations. And, you know, so it seems a little bit crazy. And so when I embarked upon this book, my most recent book before this one was focused on women of the New Testament, and that was very much in my wheelhouse. You know, I love to read the gospel stories. I love to focus on Jesus and his words and his interactions with people. So, you know, for me, that was really inspiring. So I was a little hesitant starting on this because, like many Catholics, I think, I don't make a habit of sitting down and reading the Old Testament. If I'm going to sit down and read Scripture, I'm going to be reading some gospel passages.
Me too.
You know?
Me too.
Or some Psalms. Or, you know, that's where we're happy and comfortable. But this was a great exercise for me to be able to do this. And I hope what readers will get out of it is kind of a new way of looking at the Old Testament, because I was truly surprised by when I sat down and reread these stories, you know, opening my heart and mind to hearing what God might be trying to say to me in these stories today, these ancient stories, these oftentimes weird stories. What did God have to say to me? And when I focused on the characters of women in these Old Testament stories, sometimes big characters, sometimes little minor characters you might not otherwise notice, that I found that inside of their stories, as weird as they sometimes were, and their details wouldn't ever match mine, there were things we had in common, that struggle to trust God, that longing for love, that looking for a place of belonging. These are themes that throughout history have been kind of woven into these stories that go back, as you know, to these ancient times, many, many years before Jesus even walked the earth, certainly a separate time from what we're living now. And yet, those are still our stories today. Those are our struggles today. And the uniquely feminine way that we kind of approach the world, the kinds of things that are kind of written into our hearts that we're looking for and longing for, the ways that we seek to relate to and connect with God, those things are unchanging. And so I was really encouraged and affirmed in my own struggles and my own triumphs by reading these stories from women so long ago.
Mm-hmm. And the title is You Are Enough. Now, so tie that together. How do we get to You Are Enough after you've studied some of these women of the Old Testament and come to the conclusion that you are enough? Give me a little more on that.
Sure. So for sure, I picked the title of this book because I feel like that is an affirmation that everyone needs to hear. Mm-hmm. And women today, in particular in today's culture, struggle with that idea of not feeling like they're enough, not feeling like they measure up, comparing ourselves to others, being in competition with other people, feeling like there's a scarcity of love, of resources, of status, of success, and feeling like we need to struggle for, you know, or earn our worth in some kind of way. What's been lost there is our identity as beloved daughters of God, as unique and beautiful women that God has made in His image, and He calls each of us to a unique mission. He loves each of us uniquely, and He calls each of us to a unique mission. And we lose that if we get lost inside of our culture today, which will just point us to all the ways in which we don't measure up or distract us with other people's lives and the kinds of things that other people are enjoying that we may not have. That recognizing that our value and our worth and our self-esteem, we're meant to find our self-worth. We're meant to discern our self-worth inside of our relationship with our Creator. We get distracted by all these other things. We try to seek satisfaction, fulfillment, acceptance, love, in all these other things that we might find in our world. We're never going to end up completely satisfied there. We're always going to wind up disappointed. So it truly is in our identity as daughters of God that we find that worth, that we realize we are enough, that we were made enough already. We don't have to struggle to earn God's love. And those are the same struggles that I found that women in these Old Testament stories were dealing with. Struggling to trust in God's goodness, struggling to be accepted, struggling to find their place in the world, struggling to answer God's call to grow closer to Him. And they all find their worth as well inside of that same identity as daughters of God. It's an ancient and timeless story of God's eternal love for each of us as individuals.
Now, obviously discerning this worth and so forth takes some time. So you have a in the book, you kind of take somebody by the hand and walk them through, right? It gives you a
right,
sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I share a lot from my own stories on each of these different themes, like learning to trust in God, or learning to be a mom, learning to love other people, learning to be more generous or more patient or more kind, all these different kinds of struggles mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. we all go through. I share from my own personal stories, my own life, my own struggles and challenges in these areas, and then show the ways in which those are kind of a parallel to similar struggles that women in the Old Testament and their stories reflect those same themes as well.
Who do you most resemble in the Old Testament, Danielle?
That's a good question. You know, I hate to say it, but I really identified with Sarah. I felt so edified. So Sarah, of course, was, you know, barren for many years, mm-hmm. and in her old age, at great long last, God tells her that He's going to bless her with a child, with a son. And her response was to laugh, right? Uh-huh. And her response was to laugh and say, am I to no pleasure in my old age? And, you know, I think we all can hear just a little bit of snarkiness and a little bit of cynicism inside of Sarah's response there. But I could really relate to that, and I think every one of us can, that, you know, when you're really struggling, when you're really longing for something and praying for something, asking for a particular blessing, and God seems to be saying no, it is hard to continue to trust, in God's goodness and His mercy and His love, and to, you know, maintain that attitude. And I love that God, you know, blesses her anyway. He gives her that blessing of Amen. A child anyway. He works with her where she is. He has a conversation with her about her distrust and about her laughing. And He has that same conversation with every one of us, because we're His beloved children. He sees us where we are. He engages us where we are. And He calls us to grow closer to Him, just as Sarah did.
We are all out of time. This has been a fast half hour, Danielle. Thank you so much. You Are Enough is the book, What Women of the Bible Teach You About Your Mission and Your Worth. It's available where all great Catholic books are sold. It's available online at all the normal places. CatholicBook.net, one of our sponsors, has the book available as well. I can't thank you enough, Danielle. This has been a fun half hour, and I know that the people that are listening in have gotten so much from it. Thank you so much for taking time out of that superwoman day of yours and spending it with us on The Storyteller.
Thanks for having me. It's been a joy talking with you.
God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's edition of The Storytellers with Tony Agnese, a production of the Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio. To learn more about today's storyteller, go to thestorytellersradio.com. There you can subscribe to the podcast and hear all of our past shows. And join us again next week at this same time for The Storytellers with Tony Agnese.
BritBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.